LYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Steve McKee, founder of McKee Wallwork Advertising, in studio with me. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jim.
You just said before the show started, you haven't been on KLYT for some years, my friend.
About 35 years.
Well, and let's explain that to the audience. You're, of course, a frequent contributor. Haven't been on as much lately. You were very involved in, you have been very involved in politics in the state of New Mexico. And I think, you know, looking at data, looking at both sides, talking about the rhetoric of politics, part of what our discussion will be today. Mm-hmm. But, KLYT, since we moved, we transitioned over from KNKT to KLYT, you were part of the Christian Broadcasting Academy, as was I. Back in the old days, we even did a show together about it, didn't we?
Back in the old days, yeah, it was really a lot of fun. I worked my way, I volunteered through college and then spent the first year of my career as a full-time employee. I think I did middays or afternoons, or I switched in there. So it was a great time. So much fun.
It's so much fun and so much different than it is today. Like in those days, we had turntables for records.
They skipped. Yeah. And I still have nightmares about that.
And we had a little card catalog, and our friend Rudy Grande showed us how to do segues between songs and read traffic and do all kinds of
different
things.
And if you got really good, you could put a live caller on the air. But that was not easy to do.
I don't think I tried that.
Press a lot of buttons.
Yeah. Boy, but the music, too, is very special.
Very, very special. It's my playlist. Spotify thinks I'm rather odd because I'm the guy that listens to all that music.
Well, and you start talking about musicians of those days. Favorites, couple favorites of yours.
Oh, Mylon, Rez.
Yeah.
I mean, Phil Keaggy, you can't. There's literally dozens and dozens.
You know, it's funny because Lenya Heitzig runs the She Ministry here at Calvary Church. And they were looking for a little jingle for her podcast that she's been doing. So Skip Heitzig just calls Phil Keaggy. Well, how many people can call Phil Keaggy?
Yeah, I can. Although, a funny story about him, my kids all roll their eyes at my old music, of course, right? And my son was at Wheaton College, and Phil Keaggy plays there every year. So they had always rolled their eyes at me, but when he was there, Phil Keaggy went and did his thing. And he texted me, and he said, "Phil Keaggy is the man." I said, yes,
well, he's
is.
One of the top guitar players ever.
Yes.
You know,
his name is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. There's an article there. The old wives' tale, which is actually true, was that Jimi Hendrix said he was one of the best guitar players in the world.
Yeah.
That's actually documented at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I saw it.
Well, and it's just fun because Phil Keaggy, a Christian man, is friends with people like Jimi Hendrix and others throughout history of all kinds of different faiths and people that were agnostic, atheist, but they were loving people and caring about people and at the top of their craft, which I'm so impressed
with. Very much so at the top of their craft. That's why the music has held up so well.
Yeah. Well, and we've got some special things coming up in the next couple of months that we'll be letting everybody know about, maybe revisiting some of those days. But now, KLYT is Christian teaching and talk, and you're so gracious to join us today. And let's go back, and I'm just going to tell you some of my observations. I think I just gave you one before we started. I am really concerned about New Mexico. Five children, three of them are here right now, three of the five, but I think only two of them will probably live here. I know your children, largely have moved away. Riley's the only one left.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love our kids to have an opportunity at least to come back to New Mexico or maybe at least consider anything. But right now, you know, we're just not in that position. So being a branding expert, knowing how to not only promote products and things, you've had ideas about how to promote New Mexico in a positive light. We've talked about things like Breaking Bad. Wow, that's really a sexy thing to have a really cool TV show or interesting TV show filmed in Albuquerque. But that didn't bring us any good publicity, did it?
I don't think it did. There's some mixed reaction about that. Just based on my own experience traveling around the country, in fact, around the world, you say New Mexico or Albuquerque, and they say Breaking Bad. And the context right? People picture in their mind the scenes from the show. To the point, we've probably all been asked, you know, is it really that bad?
Yeah.
And it's like, of course not. But
well, I think Breaking Bad and entertainment would not be a bad correlation. But the first thing you say is methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Then you Google Albuquerque and you find out that we're last in safety. You know, Wallet Hub just came out with best places to live in the United States. We're number 50.
Number 50.
And we're talking about all of this and framing this because you have a desire to make it better. You have some answers how to make it better. We want to educate our listeners. Look, this is, we got to start listening. We got to start educating ourselves, and then we need to vote accordingly. So let's start here. Steve, do the facts, if you're a candidate for a political office, do the facts still matter?
You can't say they don't, but there's a lot of different kinds of facts, right? Not alternate facts, right? What was that thing? There's alternative facts.
I was
facts.
Getting really nervous, sweating in my temples with that statement.
No, there's different kinds of facts. And the way I would suggest, and this, it very much relates to branding and what I do for a living. Because I've been asked this question in many different contexts, in many different ways. And I even had to come to terms with it myself earlier in my career. There's, when it comes to politics, if you will, there's sort of what you see, which is the age of a candidate or the attractiveness of a candidate or the ethnicity of a candidate, you know, things that are kind of maybe even the party of the candidate, because that's kind of usually a big thing. And then if you're at all engaged, there's things you hear, sound bites, speeches, maybe debates, maybe. And then the third level is what you might learn, their record, their beliefs, you know, how they're going to do things. All of those are different elements of the facts about a candidate. So facts still matter. It's just that we have been dumbed down so much as a culture that we tend to go based on what we see, maybe what we hear, not what we learn. Because, and we've talked about this many times before, we don't learn. People don't pay enough attention. So it's not good news or bad news. It's just kind of the way things work. But the bad news is the politicians know this. And so they market themselves accordingly. You can't blame them.
Yes. Well, Steve, there's been a couple issues, and of course I'm so limited in my vocabulary, but athletics has been a large part of my life. And I look at, you have transgender equity, sexual orientation and all kinds of different subjects. The LGBT community is lobbying for this and that. Then you have the Christian community talking about, you know, God loves you no matter what. That's absolutely true. But then you have people making judgments about whether you go to heaven or whether you won't go to heaven and all kinds of discussions that, by the way, we don't get to decide who goes to heaven. We know how they can go to heaven, and that's why we share the truth. But judging whether they go to heaven or not is not our gig. I'm just telling all our listeners, I hope you will encourage people that a personal relationship with Jesus is the only thing you need to go to heaven, and he'll change your heart. Heart change happens with him, not with us, and not us persuading. But here's the part that bothers me is I've always heard that people will not change their opinions unless they feel pain. So I found it interesting when you start to see female athletes who have fighted for – they have fighted. Boy, what a terrible word that was. They have fought for equal rights in athletics, Title IX and all kinds of other things. Didn't really do the trick until I think recent history, maybe the last 5, maybe 10 years, women's rights and equal pay in sports and all kinds of things have started to really happen. And women are starting to feel recognized. They're starting to feel like there's a level playing field. And then all of a sudden you have men that decide they want to compete as women. And I'm not going to discuss the intricacies of what they do to their bodies or whatever else. But the bottom line is you take a man that's ranked over 200th in the world as a runner, and he is a champion running against women. It is totally unfair. So I bring all of this up because as soon as that happened, now you start having Olympic committees, NCAA, high schools around the country making statements that says, look, you're going to compete against the gender in which you were born. And it's interesting how all of a sudden that seems to me to have changed the conversation a little bit.
There's a concept called the Overton window, which was I forget the guy's name. His name was Overton. He worked at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, which is up in Michigan. It's a think tank. And the Overton window is basically the concept of what is within the bounds of ideas, what's in the bounds of reasonable ideas in a society. And politicians are continually trying to move or shift the Overton window. So they get elected by running strongly on beliefs that are well within the Overton window. So this is a great example. The topic you just brought up 5 years ago wasn't even on our radar screen. But the interested groups, the people who are interested in it, basically shifted the Overton window. And so now it's on everybody's radar screen, even though in our day-to-day lives it's really not. What's so fascinating about it is facts do matter, and the facts are running into each other on that particular issue. I believe a New Zealand powerlifter, male to female transgender, just qualified for the Olympics. And that's going to be really interesting to see that play out. What is it, in August, whenever the Olympics are?
Actually, I think toward the end of July they start.
Yeah, and there's some young ladies who ran track in Connecticut who are, you know, involved in a lawsuit about it. And so it's kind of interesting because facts absolutely matter. In politics, though, it's probably more about the way the winds are blowing at the moment, which is what's unfortunate. And it's what's unfortunate about our politics. If people get the government they deserve. And if we spent more time understanding the ramifications of the positions of the people for whom we voted, we might think differently. I do want to say something though about the Wallet Hub study, because this is a good case in point. Ranked us 50th. And so I'm sort of agitating for change in New Mexico. So I would use that, right? Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I would use that. We're ranked 50th. Even though in my heart of hearts, I don't believe we're 50th, right? Those of us who live here, we know how wonderful a place is. We have our problems and we need to address those, but I've lived other places that I would not go back to. And so if I was not advocating for change, I would try to spin that in a different way. And I could talk about the credibility of Wallet Hub and who's Wallet Hub and what is the nature of that research. It's really not very reliable. Or I could use it. And you see that playing out. When something like that comes out, one party will take it this way and the other party will take it the other way. And that's the nature of the game today.
It could be a function of something like this. And I'm just selfish, so I'm revealing my character flaws. If I find a great fishing hole on the Chama River, down the stream from Cooper's up near Elvado Lake, and I catch a few fish, I'm not telling you about it.
There is something to that. Years ago, we needed for one of our clients, we had to make a doll, basically. And it was actually, the client was the New Mexico Economic Development Department. It was a doll, and I won't get into the details, but they wanted to source it locally, which is a great idea. So we looked for a local source. We found a sewing cooperative in Cuesta, New Mexico. Now, I don't know if you know much about Cuesta, but it's not exactly Santa Fe.
I do, just a little bit north of town.
Yeah, a beautiful area, very, very poor. We thought this was going to be a boon to this sewing collective because here's, you know, a great contract with the state. They actually voted on it, and they almost turned us down because they said, well, we don't want New Mexico to grow.
Yeah.
There is some of that here.
That's interesting.
Now, you know, I think about it some days when I'm tooling down the freeway compared to Austin or Los Angeles. It's like, I don't know if I want those traffic jams. But I think on balance, I would trade traffic jams for cleaning up some of the poverty here.
Well, and we're going to talk about the optics of crime. Crime's something that all New Mexicans talk about. I'm going to ask you when we come back about data that you may have researched that says, yeah, this is what New Mexicans want. I don't know if that even exists. Steve McKee, McKee Wallwork Advertising. I want to mention to everybody before we take a break, Steve's also the author of two books. He's the author of When Growth Stalls, How It Happens, Why You're Stuck, and What to Do About It, and also Power Branding, Leveraging the Success of the World's Best Brands. And I think those books have a lot of relevance today. They're not real old. They're, what, 5 years old?
A little bit older than that, but they're very relevant.
They're very relevant, and it helps people to understand if you're going to be in business for yourself or anything else, these are books worth a read. They're very interesting. They're not long, laborious you know, textbooks or anything like that. Lots of great examples. So Steve McKee is with us. He's going to be with us through the top of the hour, so stay with us. We'll be right back. In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. We care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of having. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and sporting events will make that happen. We can also use gift cards from clothing stores to help us outfit our children for the summer. Call 898-5520 or online at acch4kids.org.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
The Bible says if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we lose touch with the principles that built America, well, let's not allow that to happen. Come and celebrate freedom at Calvary, Friday night, July 2nd. All of my fears like Jericho. Excellent music with Andrew Rip, Phil Wickham, and Passion Worship. This is more than a Christian concert. Hey, it's 2021, and we are way beyond needing just a one-night festival. This is a statement of freedom in Christ with a message by Skip Heitzig.
We have a great document in the United States of America called the Declaration of Independence. And in that document, we are guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Freedom Celebration 2021 with Phil Wickham and Passion Worship. Friday night, July 2nd on the Calvary campus. Kids Zone opens at 4. Food trucks and a full fireworks display. It all begins at 6 p.m. FreedomABQ.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Steve McKee, co-founder of McKee Wallwork and Company in studio, one of the largest advertising agencies in the region. Steve, Pat Wallwork and you have been teaming up for a long time. What a great partnership you've had.
She's great. Yeah. What a wonderful partnership we've had. And they say partnerships don't work, but ours did because of her.
Well, what's interesting about it is you both have specialties.
Mm.
And you both leave each other alone to do what you do. And you do it well.
And both of our personalities are to leave each other alone. So we just put our heads down and work.
Well, let's talk now, Steve, about let's say that you have a certain brand that you want to promote. You know how to go out and get the data that says this consumer is what they want. This is what they're looking at. You know how to do that polling. You know, you've done that. Convert that into politics and tell me, are there some examples of data points what New Mexicans want?
Well, yeah, there's so just by way of providing context, there's a professor at Notre Dame who described a brand as a shortcut. He said a brand is a shortcut that discourages rational thought. Which is kind of funny. And I think what he meant by that really is it kind of eliminates the need for much rational thought. So think of it this way. If you went to a grocery store and you had to examine each of the products you buy and look at the list of ingredients, and you'd be there all day, right? But you see a can and it says Del Monte or Campbell's, and so you're like, okay, I know I can trust this brand. That's what a brand does. It is a shortcut. So it's a way for people to political parties are brands. They're shortcuts. Oh, he's a Democrat. I'm for him. Oh, she's a Republican. I'm for her. Right. So, one of the things that a candidate will do, they're obviously part of a party. So that's part of their shortcut, but that's usually not enough, especially in a primary. So sometimes they'll pick an issue and, some of the better candidates throughout history have sort of had an intuitive sense for that. And others not so much. There's the, mayor's race in New York, which we've been following. It's a ranked choice election. So they're still counting the votes, but it looks like the guy who's going to win is a gentleman named Eric Adams, who's a former police officer who picked crime and said he's going to carry his gun when he's mayor around town. He's not going to have a security detail. He's going to protect himself, which in a place like New York, is pretty crazy. And apparently throughout the campaign, anytime there was a significant crime story, which is probably every day, he'd get out in front of it and he'd say, this is the problem. Well, he's running away with it in a field of a lot of different Democrat and progressive candidates. He's running away with the election, it looks like, because he bet right, if you will. I'm not saying he wasn't sincere about it. That's his issue. And so, in New Mexico, crime is an issue. We have a mayor's race coming up, and I think that's going to be the issue. It looks like that's the way it's shaping up, not only because our crime is so awful, but because of the challenger candidate. I think there's only one so far, sheriff, who is going to go after the crime issue, and that's probably the right issue from an electoral standpoint. We know nationally, and this is from some of the research I've done, believe it or not, Social Security and the national debt, people are really concerned about those things. It's just that they're not in your face the way maybe illegal immigration is or problems with the schools. And so candidates tend not to hang their hat on those things. But in New Mexico, in one survey we did, the number one issue was school choice, believe it or not. The parents should be allowed to choose the school their kids go to. As far as I've seen, no candidate has made that their thing. I think it's a winning thing. We've seen in other states, particularly in Florida and Georgia, gubernatorial candidates win on that one issue because it crosses party lines.
Well, I just noticed a news report yesterday. I can't remember which local station had it. I think it was KOAT, but they were talking about school choice in the sense that there was 6,000-7,000 people homeschooling in Albuquerque roughly a year before COVID. And now there's over 15,000-16,000, mm-hmm. and that the majority of those people do not intend to send their children back to public school.
Yeah, and when COVID happened and the lockdown happened, I actually I'm a little surprised it hasn't gone farther than that, because my thought was a lot of parents are going to be really creative and innovative here, and they're going to create a solution that they don't have to go back to the old ways. I will tell you anecdotally, I have three very good friends who have little children preschool. All three of them say they don't know what they're going to do, but they're not going to public school. Mm-hmm. So I think there's room for a lot more innovation in that area. And of course, the charter school movement has a lot of wind at its back, except when the politicians try to stop it. And there's all kinds of other things. School choice is coming. There's really no question. It's a matter of what form and how fast.
Well, and of course, we've looked at Kids Count 2020, Kids Count 2021 just came out. Annie E. Casey Foundation ranks New Mexico 49th in education in the country. The year before, we were 50th. I found it interesting that our governor thought that was a significant improvement. And I just have to laugh. Well, okay, we're now ahead of Mississippi. They're 50, and we think that's a big leap
for the moment. For the moment.
Steve, I look at that and I just laugh. It's like ridiculous. But here's the funny thing. So the Annie E. Casey Foundation looks at three things primarily. They look at fourth grade reading levels, eighth grade math scores, and on-time graduation rates for high schools. They think that data is indicative of, the entire education system. Is it? I don't know. That's way above my pay grade to decide whether that's a scientific study. But they're ranking all the other states the same way, and New Mexico is nevertheless almost last every time we do that. So the frustrating thing to me is, why is that true? When you look at the graduation rates in APS, they're averaging right around 76%, but they have two or three charter schools like Cottonwood Classical and others that are well over 90%. When you start looking at the graduation rates of some private schools like the Albuquerque Academy, Hope Christian School, you're talking 96, 97% graduation rates or higher. There's best practices that somehow we can go find out. And those are those facts that I'm asking you about.
Yes.
Why can't we go do that?
We can, but we don't. And that's on us. Most people, most voters don't do that. They vote. They'll go to the booth and vote party. It is a shortcut, but it's not necessarily an excuse. Or they might vote for somebody who looks like them or is in their generation, their same generation, or is from their part of the state. Very surface level votes. We don't take the time to look at the issues.
This is way off of our list, but I have to tell it just because I'm passionate about it. So I've had Shelley Rep, New Mexico Dream Center, talking about domestic minor sex trafficking in our city. I've had Toya Kaplan. Her and her husband own Wex Restaurants in Albuquerque, and they give back to the community through an organization. And they just promoted a Vulnerable No More event that was held at Legacy Church a couple weekends ago, where they tried to make people aware of how young women and even boys are recruited into sex trafficking situations. So when I'm talking with Shelley Rep, and this is something she's talked to me about in the last month, she said, Jim, a year or so ago, when 2 or 3 months into COVID, so roughly June a year ago, she proposed legislation to the legislature that was going to be considered all the way up until this last session, where she said, look, we have different penalties for traffickers that traffic 12-year-olds and different penalties for people that traffic 17-year-olds. Well, those are both minors. She said, we need a blanket harsh penalties for traffickers. Then we need penalties for the customers, the people that are creating the demand. The House flies through the House, only 3 dissenting votes, I believe, goes to the Senate, and it dies in committee because nobody has to take responsibility. So I'm here to say this on the radio as a media guy. Some way between now and the legislative session coming up in January of 2022, so we've got 6 months, somebody needs to decide that this is a bipartisan issue. We should not allow sex trafficking in the city of Albuquerque. This is not Democrat. This is not Republican. This is not something we should allow men to go buy. You don't buy sex from children. Sorry about that harsh language. That's just the way it is. Why can't we start a campaign right now and make sure that every legislature passes this bill when it comes up and is proposed in January?
You just did. You just did, and I think that's what Shelley and the people like her are all about, right, trying to make it happen. But I think the biggest thing here is what we don't appreciate is that I don't mean to be cynical, but we assume our politicians are interested in solving the same problems we are. And it's not that they're not, but they are interested in solving their problem, not yours. Mm-hmm. And their first problem is getting reelected. Mm-hmm. And so they will do what it takes, whether it's to sideline a bill because this particular donor group doesn't like it, or, you know, there are real issues with the criminal justice system, right? And you can make cases for bail reform, for example. There's good arguments, you know, on both sides. And so they can whitewash stuff. They can put up smoke screens. Some of them believe, honestly, differently. This issue, it's a head scratcher. Honestly, I don't understand. But I also don't understand why they don't see the value of lowering our taxes to raise all of the boats, which is abundant. There's plenty of data to demonstrate that it would. Or the school choice issue, why that's, you know, it's something that will help the poorest among us the most. I don't know why they don't see that, but I've become convinced that in New Mexico particularly, maybe that's unfair, politicians everywhere, that they're not solving the same problems you and I are. And we assume that they are, and that's why we get frustrated, instead of recognizing that they're not and saying, okay, well, then we just have to replace them.
But that's the point that I want to get to, and you said it exactly right. We have to replace them. But in order to replace them, one, you have to go out and vote. I've had Republican Party Chairman Steve Pierce come on the show and say, look, Jim, only 50% of Christians, largely Christian audience that we have, are even registered to vote. And then when the election time comes along, the general election, only half of those people vote. In the runoff election with Stansberry and Morse,
35-36%.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
No.
And so I'm trying to appeal to our listeners, guys, we got to get together. And I'm not telling you who to vote for or what to vote. What I'm telling you is I'd love for you to vote your Bible. I'd love for you to have conviction of heart. I'd love for you to go into the New Mexico legislative website and look at the voting record of the people that you're going to be voting for.
We've talked about this before. There's no shortage of information. If you want to find it, you'll find it.
But people aren't looking. They have to not be looking because they're not voting.
Because they're not in pain. Hmm. They're not in enough pain yet. When they feel the pain, they vote. And that's why you'll get a wave election on this issue or that. But they're not feeling the pain. And the thing that worries me about New Mexico is we are, as a state, we're bleeding slowly. And at least once a month, a business person I know will tell me they're out of here and they're taking their business with them. But they don't issue a news release. They don't hold a news conference. You know, they just quietly go. And what's, you know, what remains is the public sector largely, which is not something that we can really sustain our a state on. So when do you remember when they were going to close Kirtland, the base closing commission, right? They were looking at closing Kirtland Air Force Base. Boy, that got our attention. And there was a task force formed and there was no political parties at that point, right? We were all on the same team. We got to save the base because that was a big threatened pain. We don't have something like that right now. Each of us are feeling a little different aspects of pain. And that's why we are where we are.
You know, you mentioned pain, but I also want to mention joy, because not too long ago, there was an announcement made through Intel that there's a brand new mission and a brand new expansion at the one of their largest North American fabs, which happens to be up the hill in Rio Rancho. I think Mayor Gregory Hull in Rio Rancho had a lot to do with making them comfortable with doing that expansion and doing some things. And that should have been the most ecstatic thing we've ever heard ever, and people clamoring to get jobs and all of our schools getting ready to prepare people for those jobs. And since the announcement, I haven't heard a thing. So we got Steve McKee in studio till the top of the hour. Stay with us. I'll have Steve talk to us about that and make a comment when we come back. We'll be right back.
What would it look like if God threw a party? Well, the Old Testament shows that the Jewish calendar is anchored with regular, mandatory holidays and celebrations. And the book of Esther says that God wants his people to experience light and gladness, joy and honor at such times. Sound like your family celebrations? Listen to this insight from Skip Heitzig about one of our own regular holidays, Valentine's Day.
For God so loved. That's the essence of his nature. The Bible says God is love. Boy, that is so simple to say, and it's so hard for some of us to believe.
Happiness, Holiness, and Holidays is a 4-DVD collection of celebration messages from Pastor Skip. Messages that could be a game changer for your family. Take holidays from toxic stress to celebrations of light and joy. Here's a sample.
You are loved by God, not because you deserve it, but because, just because. That is his nature. It is his decision.
Imagine that foundation for the next holiday on your family calendar. This selection of some of Pastor Skip's holiday teachings is our thanks when you give $25 or more to help connect more people to God's Word. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give online securely or call 800-922-1888 and request your copy of Happiness, Holiness, and Holidays with Skip Heitzig.
Calvary Christian School is now accepting kindergarten through second grade student applications for the fall 21-22 school year. With a strong Christ-based foundation, Calvary Christian School desires to partner with families to grow children in the love of Christ, mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. The goal is for attendees to be the best taught and best loved students in Albuquerque. Handbook, calendar, and enrollment packet information are available at calvarychurchpreschool.com.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you, Steve Ryman, for getting us in and out of this program. Steve's been an engineer here at KLYT and used to work with Steve McKee and I at KLYT back in the olden days. Actually, both Steve and Steve are younger than me, so I was there a little bit before you guys.
I think Steve's younger than me, too.
Ryman, are you younger than McKee?
Yes, that's all I'm going to say about that.
I think that's hysterical. We have, all three of us, had a great legacy with KLYT Radio. I'm so glad to be here and have the opportunity to speak to more and more people around the state. With KLYT, Steve, we have an audience now in Las Cruces. I've always said that's the home of my second favorite basketball team, the New Mexico State Aggies. And I say that with a smile on my face because I've had great, great competitions down at New Mexico State and great, great competitions with them coming up here to the pit. So I say that with great affection, great times. As much fun as we had on the radio, I had fun with the Aggies. Also, I've had some major embarrassments with the Aggies where Albert Slab Jones, when I was a senior, the cover of the Albuquerque Journal showed a picture of him blocking the very first shot that I took in the game, where the ball, the Wilson basketball, was planted on my forehead with his big hand on the other side of it, stuffing it right into my forehead. And the headline of the paper said, Lobos get slabbed. So, but anyway, I bring that up because it's a fun community. I've spent a lot of time down there, lots of good friends. And then we have, you know, a lot of people in Portales, Texaco, Clovis, all of those areas. We're in Santa Fe very clearly. So our audience has expanded by as much as 40% since we moved.
Love it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
We need to find that front page. I'm sure it's archived somewhere and put it in the show notes or something.
Well, it is a, picture that I showed my kids because I have it. I have it, and it is funny, but it was major league embarrassing, I just have to say. You know, when you're a, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid, and you're proud of your team, and you want to represent
and
well.
And you want to get your face in the paper?
That's not the way you want to get your face in the paper. It absolutely wasn't, but they smoked us, and it was great competition. And I just have not one negative thing to say. I'm always surprised that athletes, when they interview these guys in the NBA or the NFL, they don't just smile at the camera and go, do you realize how much fun we're having?
Yeah.
I never hear them say that. And that's really the bottom line, isn't it?
Maybe you don't realize it until you're done.
Yeah. That's that, and that's a sad thing. You got to really, really enjoy it. So, hey, if you're a young athlete.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it, man. Just soak it up. So, Steve, let's talk about what we were talking about before the break. I guess I'm still not clear on what New Mexicans care about.
Well, New Mexico, obviously, crime is, New Mexicans is a broad statement because there are a lot of different communities in New Mexico, but Albuquerque, Las Cruces, and the major metropolitan areas, crime is right up there. It's way up there, as is immigration. You know, we tend to think of that as a national issue. It's very much a local issue if you talk to people, particularly in the southern part of the state.
Okay, Steve, I have to ask, I'm sorry interrupting you, but the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, is in charge of border security. That was her edict when they won the election. She's just taken a very brief visit, which I understand was almost like a layover on a plane trip.
Because of the optics.
Well, but I'm asking the question. I don't know if what I read in the paper was factual. I don't know if what the Republicans are saying is just a spin. But what I do know is she didn't go to Deming and talk to the ranchers down there. She didn't go into all the communities that stretch from Las Cruces all the way down to El Paso and talk to those communities about how they're being affected by this. And she didn't go to anybody coming up across the border and say, what's going on with you? You've been sitting in a detention center for 10 years. You know, so I'm just baffled. Why can't somebody, maybe it's the media's responsibility, they need to report the facts.
Well, it is. That's a whole other conversation. But in this context of optics, the fact that she went to the border was an optics decision because her having not gone there was hurting her in terms of optics, right? Mm-hmm. The interview with, was it Lester Holt? Mm-hmm. It was kind of embarrassing. And so they made the call to take her there. That was an optics call. But at the same time, they had to be careful of the optics of her there. You know, in what context would she be photographed? And then on the right, it was an optics question as well. The right was making hay of the fact that she hadn't gone to the border and looking for opportunities when she had. So it's the game we're playing, right? Optics and sound bites. Is the game we're playing. And yes, the role of the media is to cut through that. But for a variety of reasons, which might make an interesting show in and of itself, they're just not doing that. Partly economic and partly philosophical. So it's left up to us. You know, I've talked to many people who said they don't know what news source they can trust, and I sympathize with that. But that doesn't mean you don't take a lot of it in and try to discern what's really going on. With respect to the border and the administration's position, I go back to the question of what problem are they trying to solve? And we must not assume that we're all trying to solve the same problem because we're not. That's where it begins. We sort of assume we're all trying to solve the same problem. Why can't we just agree on the how? But we're not.
Hmm. Well, I've got a couple of people that I've talked to that were experts or that are experts. A young man named Phil Davies. I helped coach him. He played basketball with my kids in high school at Hope Christian School. He's an immigration attorney in San Antonio, Texas. And he has a lot of opinions, political and otherwise, but straight up facts, he said, look, right now it takes over 10 years for somebody to immigrate into this country legally. Well, that's ridiculous. Mm. That's like saying it's going to take you 5 years to get a home loan. That's not right. You can do background checks and all of these things in seconds. If you go to a lender today, they can pull your credit report. They can do a criminal background check. They can do all of that literally in the first 5 minutes you're sitting there after you give your name, address, and social security number. I mean, that's how quickly it can happen. Now, is the data available for people that are coming from Guatemala, Colombia, Mexico? That I don't know, but it seems like some pretty smart people out there that could put together that data and some sources for that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And probably with the cooperation of those governments.
Yeah. It's eminently solvable if we chose to. Which we choose not to.
We have an election coming up for mayor, and there's optics on crime. You've already mentioned that. I have to make one statement that doesn't have anything to do really with voters. Maybe it does. Maybe it has to do with just the public coming out in force in terms of saying this. It's my opinion that even our incumbent mayor can't do anything about the DOJ and what I'm going to call the interference in the Albuquerque Police Department. The DOJ needs to go. They are not improving law enforcement. They've been in place here for 6-7 years. I've seen no improvement. I think most of our community would concur. I don't believe the mayor. I don't believe the chief of police. I don't believe Manny Gonzalez, who's currently the Bernalillo County Sheriff, who's running for mayor, could do anything about it if he was elected, because the people in that position would be fighting against the people that are supposed to be overseeing them. It's the public now, Steve. We need, as a public, to rise up and say, you people need to get out of here. We're going to provide certain training for our officers. Let's get the Black community, the Asian community, you name it. Race is not an issue. I don't believe that should keep us divided. We are a community that can come together. We've proven it in the past. Let's come up with what we need to do. Let's have an oversight committee that's reasonable. Let's get our police officers in a position of honor. Let's give them respect. Let's do what they need us to do to support their efforts. And I think crime gets diminished. That's just my opinion.
The key would be, and since we're talking about optics, the key would be it's a complicated issue, to simplify it in a very, boil it down to its essence, whether it's the feds controlling us or whatever the issue is, and making that a bipartisan issue. The mayor's race is really fascinating because you have a Democrat running against a Democrat. So the number one thing, even though technically it's a nonpartisan race, people pay attention to that. But the number one thing that is usually the line of demarcation is not there, which is fascinating because now people are going to be forced to make their decision based on something else. And I think that's healthy.
Oh, I do too. But the thing that I'm afraid of is if you take an expert on crime like a Manny Gonzalez, he's got a proven record, he's created an interesting culture in the sheriff's office, but then you have the interference from the DOJ, I don't see how he can do what he needs to do. I mean, I think the culture and all of that, I've known police officers for a really long time. It's kind of like you start talking about teachers in the Albuquerque Public Schools, and we have this data about, how the Albuquerque Public Schools isn't measuring up to national levels and different things. But I know those teachers are as good as they are in the country.
Right.
I know our police officers are as good as they are in the country. So what is creating the problems? And those are questions that do they not have the resources they need? It just goes on and on and on.
There's been a lot of instability, I know, in that arena, and there are mitigating factors. There are other factors that play into it, but I think it'd be terrific if there was a nonpartisan, bipartisan community effort to say it's our police department, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, and I think we can have that. That's going to be one of my things for the next 6 months.
You've got two things now so far.
I do
today,
those two things. I but they're both related to crime.
They're both related, and they're both very important.
And I would like to get back to, and I've shared this before. My parents bought a house I want to say this was 1963, so I was 5 or 6. I used to ride my bike from Wantabo and Brentwood Hills Boulevard, which is between Indian School and Manal. Dirt.
Dirt.
Dirt. Absolutely everything east of Wyoming was dirt. And I would ride my bike from there down to the corner of Manal and Wyoming to Van's Bicycle Shop. And I would buy stuff for my bike and then ride home. You can't let your kids ride 2 blocks, much less 3 miles, when they're 6 or 7 years old.
You can't. That's true all over the country, though. I mean, that's a function of our cultural deterioration as much as it is local.
Yeah. Let's talk about sound bites that you mentioned earlier. What are some of the sound bites we hear, and why are they maybe misrepresenting the facts?
Well, because, see, and it all plays into the media. There's limited time, right? So it's not a matter of I'm going to give a 18-minute dissertation and people are going to hear that. I'm going to get 18 seconds, maybe 8 on a newscast. And so we've been forced to reduce our communication to sound bites, which is like an optic, which is a way of turning a phrase in euphemistic form. Right? That's a big word, euphemism. We all use euphemisms that that captivate people. And I find it's really fascinating because pastors do this too. You'll hear when they turn a phrase, sometimes it's really deep and sometimes it's just not. But when they turn a phrase, you hear people go, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because people, they just like to turn a phrase. And so whether it's, you know, protecting women's reproductive rights, which is a euphemism, sounds good, but, you know, you don't have time to get underneath that and pull that apart. Or the, you know, the words that we're using, whenever politicians talk about investments, we need to invest in this or invest in that. That's a euphemism because they're not investing in anything. They're spending. An investment is different. They talk about revenue versus taxes. The whole immigration, right? We've gone from illegal alien to undocumented immigrant. And that's all part of the soundbite culture is how can I turn a phrase in such a way that it will send the right signal to the people who agree with me? And not send the wrong signal to the people who don't. If you think about that, that's quite an art.
But nobody, if we're all thinking and using all of our brains, nobody is exactly the person. You know, the old adage, nobody's perfect. That's absolutely true. But in some areas, we hold people to this, I don't know what, we hold them to a level that they can't possibly attain.
There's a saying these days about acting on our priors. Right. We look for things that reinforce our priors, our prior beliefs, and rebel against things that don't. That's not a new concept. It's a new term. It's not a new concept. There's always been the idea of purchase reinforcement. You buy a car, and then you see a commercial for your car, and you're like, hey, that's my car. And it makes you feel good. It's purchase reinforcement. And so we all have our prior preconceptions, and things are moving so fast. When somebody says something that we agree with, we tend to say, yep, I agree with that. And when they say something we don't, we either ignore it or we find a way around it.
When we come back, we got one more segment with you. I'm going to ask you what I think is going to appear like some harsh comparisons between the sound bites and the optics that they want to convey. So when we come back, Steve McKee will be with us till the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is John MacArthur with another edition of Portraits of Grace. David prayed, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." You see, sin had robbed him of that joy. And that could become true of us because our joy is directly related to our obedience. If we're not committed to righteousness and obedience, we will forfeit God's wonderful blessing of joy. But more than that, you'll also lose opportunities to glorify God. When you think or behave unrighteously, you violate your reason for existence, you forfeit your joy, and you can't glorify God as He wants you to. Instead of causing others to see your good works and glorify God, you bring reproach on His name. When unbelievers look at your life, what do they see? I hope they see someone filled with joy, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, seeking to live to God's glory every day. This is John MacArthur, looking forward to bringing you more Portraits of Grace.
Two Feet Down. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. I've always wondered how hard that second foot is for receivers to get down before going out of bounds. When they transition from the college to the pro game, I'm assuming they spend a significant amount of time to master this. It's a shame when a wideout makes a spectacular downfield catch over their shoulder, and yet they were misled just a little bit, and they can't get that second foot down. You know, tending our souls takes work also. As a wideout is disciplined to run their routes and practice the repetition of getting 2 feet in bounds, we need to be disciplined not to be led out of bounds by others. Proverbs 1:10 challenges us, a father to his son, about who we spend time with. It says, "My son, if sinful men entice you, don't give in to them." The scripture also says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." If we aren't being disciplined in the relationships we choose, those we run with may just lead us out of bounds.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Steve McKee in studio. He's an author and a businessman here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, family man, has experienced the gamut, and he was just talking about his friends with young children. But the guy's got, what do you got, like 5 grandchildren now, buddy?
6.
6?
It keeps changing. It's not my fault.
And you know what's causing that?
Yeah.
The kids know what's causing that.
Yeah. Grandma wants more grandchildren.
Oh, Denise has got to be in heaven. She just has to be having a blast. That's so much fun. Steve, okay, harsh question. I don't mean for the tone to be, but I've tried to invite people that keep telling me that they name this women's health care. Will you please come on the show and explain to me, this is what I've asked them, how women's health care somehow justifies killing a preborn child up to the date of birth. I'd really like somebody to come on this show, explain to me how those two things correlate, but nobody will do it.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a correlation. That's why they don't want to come on the show.
They can't do it. Yeah, and so we're back to solving a different problem. We're trying to solve a different problem. That's, you know, the abortion argument is one that the life side has won. It is a matter of cleaning it up and realizing it over time. And in the meantime, a lot more babies are being killed, which is tragic. But science, among other things, reasoning, we can see that
abortions are going down nationally,
and they will continue to, and we will win that argument. Unfortunately, it's going to cost a lot more lives, but that's why nobody will come on the show, because they know they can't win the argument.
Mm. Isn't that sad that we can't do something about that today? So here's some optics I want to ask you about. When it comes to political issues like these, I've heard wind and solar power can replace oil and gas as our primary energy source.
Yeah, and it's interesting as we look at that, because it's sort of a false choice. I mean, maybe they can, maybe they can't. I don't think anybody knows. Today they can't. We know that. But they've set it up as sort of a either or you get one or you get the other. And when the truth is, what the public believes, and it's based on my research, is that we should double down on oil and gas, particularly in New Mexico, but we should also be exploring new technology.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just that doesn't make for good political fights.
Yeah.
So they want to say something different.
Well, Steve, when you're looking at, I guess I'm looking now at what the Democratic Party in New Mexico is talking about is redistricting so that it's gerrymandering. It's the Democrats have controlling in every voting district in the state. Well, to me, when I look at our forefathers, when I look at anything that the Democrat Party says in the preamble and so forth to their own policies, we should be creating districts where everything's as equal as possible. It's not about getting reelected. It's about having the vote as equal as possible, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but in fairness, Elbridge Gerry,
yeah,
was one of our forefathers.
Yes, he was.
And it was him for whom Gary or gerrymandering was named. Republicans do it too. Whoever's in power does it. And it's basically trying to set up the electoral map in your favor. And the Supreme Court recently ruled that that's a political decision. It's not a legal decision. And yes, we, I think everybody agrees on both sides of the aisle, particularly when you're not in power, that districts should be fair. But it is difficult. Fairness is in the eye of the beholder in some respects. So yeah, we should, that's a battle that we're just going to have to continue to fight forever. But we should fight the battle, because that at least gives, shine some light on the, every 10 years we get redistricted, shine some light on it, and maybe they'll behave themselves a little bit.
I guess I get to the point where, what do we do about this misinformation and gaining Yes. some discernment about how to fix things?
Well, first we have to recognize that it is misinformation. I've been cracking up lately because the latest, talk about optics and sound bites, the latest manifestation of that is the way that these politicians name the bills that they're putting forth in them. So, there is a bill that is having a hearing today in Washington. It's called the For the People Act. You may have heard of it.
I have.
Where the basically the Democrats nationally are trying to federalize elections, which is really counterconstitutional and unconstitutional. But they called it the For the People Act, when in reality, its result would be to take power away from the people. Again, in fairness, you have the old Patriot Act, right, which was after 9/11. What I didn't realize, I don't know if you knew this, is the Patriot Act is actually an acronym. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's the USA Patriot Act, and it was Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism. USA Patriot. But so there are some that would say the Patriot Act trampled our civil liberties. So it's actually very unpatriotic. And then we know the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. The Affordable Care Act did anything but make care more affordable.
Yeah, it's only three or four times more expensive than it used
to be. So what we need to do is pay attention. And this is just a perfect case in point. When you see a bill, and the reason they do it is because the media refers to the bill by its name, as they should, and it just gives the wrong impression. When you see a bill, assume, I hate to say this, assume that it means the opposite, that it's doing the opposite of what the bill is titled, which is really terrible.
That's really scary.
It's really a scary thing. But we need to pay attention. You know, we do it as consumers all the time. When you see, you know, new and improved in the grocery store, you're like, all right, what's really new and improved about this? Did they shrink the bag? You know, what did they do? We do, as consumers, we have sort of a natural skepticism. And that's a very healthy thing because we know that brand marketers are doing everything they can to manipulate us into thinking a certain way. We just have to approach politics the exact same way.
Is this confession?
No, it's not confession. That's a whole nother conversation as well. It's you can't expect any politician, brand, marketer, anything to do anything but present themselves in the best possible light. You can't. What you can do is expect them not to be deceptive. And we have a Federal Trade Commission on the marketing side that will actually fine you or put you in jail if you lie. But on the political side, we don't. We don't want one because that's our First Amendment. And so politicians can lie. Political ads can lie. And we've done research in that regard as well. People want to see that outlawed. That's actually a case where the cure would be worse than the disease. Because once you start outlawing speech, now you're in a world of hurt. So we just have to recognize that you have a certain amount of protection from the Federal Trade Commission in terms of product marketing, but you should still be suspicious. On the political side, you've got none. All you have is your wits and your brains, and we need to pay attention.
Where do you find out the correct information?
You have to get online. There are a number of reliable sources. They're just not the New York Times and the Huffington Post. They're not the major media, NBC, CBS, even Fox News has its agenda. So there are lots of places to get. If you want it, you'll find it, but you need to look for it. It's kind of like I said earlier, you can't read all the labels of all the packages in the supermarket. But if you're gluten intolerant, you can at least make sure that everything you're buying doesn't have gluten in it. Mm. So if you are sex trafficking intolerant, which we all should be, abortion intolerant, which we all should be, high taxes intolerant, whatever your issues are, read the packages. Check the label.
Read the package. Read the label. Yeah. But you know, there's people that'll say, hey, I'm not just one thing. I'm not a one issue politician.
That's fine. Read the label for your mix of issues and determine which of those are, you know, going to earn your vote one way or another. You got to read the label and you got to make sure that you know what they're standing for.
I think we have successfully teased, about 25 topics that we're going to need about 3 hours to talk about, which means that you have to agree to come back on the show.
Deal.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.